3 weeks from today is Election Day, and it's coming fast. Some of us that are fatigued by all the political ads and talk are saying, oh my gosh, that's going to be a long 3 weeks. Our next guest says 3 weeks. That's not very long at all. Jeremy Peruski is running for Michigan's 10th Congressional District seat as an independent. Jeremy, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing well. What made you decide to do this as an independent?
Basically, looking at the spectrum of what's taking place right now in Michigan, and I came back a couple of years ago after my father passed away and some things happened. Basically, coming back and seeing how divisive things have become in Michigan and with the community, where family members and friends weren't even talking to each other just because of who they had to vote for. And quite often, many people felt that you're voting for a lesser of two evils. And so we're both given bad choices, and then you're hung out to dry and your friends don't want to talk to you because you picked whatever wasn't the right answer for them. So looking at the divisiveness that had taken place and just realizing we need to start representing our people, our community, getting back together, having common sense solutions that help our community move forward. Not talking points for these two parties, because we know that the talking points, they're pushing everybody further and further to the left and right. And where we used to see independents were way on the outside, now we're seeing the parties are on the way out on the outside. And the independents, most of them that are running around the country, are actually right in the middle, and they're moderates with common sense solutions.
However, you know what you're getting in a Republican and in a Democrat, whether it's too far left, too far right. You know who they are and what they stand for. Mm. So what does an independent candidate like yourself stand for?
Yeah, that's a great question, because a lot of times people are asking, they're very keen on hearing that there's somebody independent. From my perspective, I believe that and it's one of the beautiful things is I got the sample ballots a couple of weeks ago. And on the sample ballot, it says no party affiliation. And so when you get your ballots and everything, when you see that on November 6th, it'll say no party affiliation. And I love that, because it means it's the community. It's our people. It's the people, the one vote, one voice, people stepping up. They'll be the ones that support that in terms of wanting to vote for an independent, because it's representing them, not the parties. But in terms of positions and stuff like that, I'm a moderate. I believe that we have to have consensus. We have to sit down and talk about how do we move the 80, 90% of us in the middle forward, not the 5% with the loudest voices on the left and the right, but that 80, 90% of us that are sitting here thinking, why are we spinning our wheels? We're not, our country, our community is not moving forward, and we need to be moving forward again and talking about the real issues that our community is facing right today.
As you've been meeting people in the community, in this district, what have you been hearing from them? What are their concerns?
So over the last 4 months, I've met over 5,000 people and literally shaken hands, had conversations, some of them deeper than others. The biggest issue that our community faces, and it's amazing because we never hear about it, is mental health. It is by far mental health. I'd say 2-1 in terms of issues, whether we're talking about the vets coming back with PTSD, whether we're talking about teen suicide, depression, opioid addiction that we know is afflicting every single community. I've spoken with law enforcement, with health officials in every county, and they're all grappling with these issues, and nobody's talking about this. Nobody's, from a government perspective, we're supposed to be the ones trying to help find solutions and help our communities deal with these massive issues, and nobody's doing it.
So what should Congress do to help with mental health issues?
Well, I'm not a mental health expert. So first and foremost, I'm a finance guy that's been advising big technology companies on a global basis. So my background is very business, very finance focused. What I hear from a lot of the experts in the space basically is they need more facilities. They need help. They need treatment centers. There's a lot of places. If you look, I spoke to law enforcement up in the Thumb area, sounding like Tuscola, Huron County area. There's no treatment facilities. There's zero. So if they want to send them, they either got to send them down to Detroit or they have to send them to Bay City. And so you have somebody that's addicted on opioids. They have no place to go if they really want to dry up and get clean or anything. And then also the families that are dealing with, whether it's their children or their parents or friends, loved ones that are dealing with these issues, they have no way of actually learning, having the tools and being able to learn how to help their friends or family members.
So would you advocate for spending more money on such facilities then?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a vital part in terms of, again, the healthcare is a very big issue, but as that part of the healthcare, we definitely need more money and more facilities, more access and everything for a lot of these people that are grappling with these issues.
What about healthcare in general? And that's been the issue for years. And, Obamacare didn't get it done. The current Congress has made some modifications, but I don't think that anybody can agree we've finally figured out how to provide good, adequate healthcare to everybody in this country. What steps need to be taken?
So that's one of the other huge issues that we're grappling with and everything as a community. I look at it very simplistically. I not being pushed by the special interests, and whether it's the insurance companies or pharmaceuticals. Pharmaceuticals, we know, are the largest lobbyists in Washington. I'm very clean of all the special interests, because I believe the voice belongs to the community, not to them. So when we look at this, one of the key things that I look at in terms of how do we start looking at this is controlling the cost. So I don't, whether it's give everything to everybody or take everything away, like, I don't believe in these extreme positions. I believe that what we've got, let's try and fix this. And the number one thing I think everybody can agree on is we got to control costs. We got to control pharmaceutical costs, the hospital costs, everything that's going into this, because these costs keep going up rampantly. I mean, we have EpiPens that have gone up, like, I've heard numbers like 400% in the last 3 or 4 years. And the EpiPens have been around since 1922. And the fact that pharmaceutical companies basically get monopolies on these drugs and they can charge whatever price, that has to stop. We have to take, we have to put cost controls. And I'm not talking, people are going to be like, oh, that means socialized medicine. That's not by any means. But when you have a monopoly on something, there has to be some sort of controls put in place.
Talk with Jeremy Perusky. He's running for Congress as an independent in Michigan's 10th congressional district. Obviously, one of the parties will be in control of the House. It won't be an independently controlled House. So will you be able to work with the Republicans or the Democrats, whoever happens to be in charge?
Most definitely. And you make a good point. Right now, this is one of the interesting things. We have a record number of independents that are running around the country right now.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that as well, because you're not the only person running as an independent candidate for Congress in this country.
Correct. And so there's a huge number. I went to an event that was out in Colorado that brought together a lot of the independents that are running for federal positions. There are 156, as of this is back in August, so there are 156 guys that we know of, men and women, that are running. The heart of what, and it's the entire spectrum, of, like, political spectrum, so conservative to liberal. The one thing we all care about, the one thing we all believe in, is that the community should be at the heart of these votes and what we're representing. It shouldn't be the party's talking points or anything like that. And so when we look at that, and we talked about this extensively, looking at the election, especially the House, we know that it's going to be close. And if you look at what happened, the Senate is a perfect example, is look at all the people that are independents or very moderate. They have so much power over the decisions that are happening and are able to influence a lot because they're in there. So the House is going to be the same thing. We know this is going to be happening for the election into for the midterms here that are coming up on November 6th. And when we have independents there, they're going to have a lot of power and a lot of say in terms of going one way or the other. Because the one thing, again, getting back to that, is that we believe that we've got to represent our community. And so that's going to be the heart of it.
So 3 weeks from today, Jeremy, when people go to the polls, or even sooner than that if they're voting absentee, and maybe some have already voted, but for those that haven't cast their ballot yet, they're going to look at your name along with the other major party candidates, and they're going to say, wow, I like that there's no party affiliation, but that's a big leap of faith for somebody to take to vote for an independent. So why should they vote for Jeremy Perusky?
So I would say at the very heart of it is that if you believe that we need change, if you're sick and tired of all this bickering, the yelling that's going on, this inaction that's going on in Washington right now, and the extremes that we're seeing and hearing on TV every single day, isn't voting for the same two parties again and again and again. It's kind of Einstein's definition of insanity. Is basically doing the same thing over and over again, expecting something different. It's not going to change. The same two parties are the ones that got us into this mess. They're not going to get us out. And so when you're looking at that, thinking about it, who's going to represent the community the best? Who's going to have common sense solutions and not take these extreme positions and try and figure out what's best for the community? Because again, as a no party affiliate, the only people I rely on, I'm dependent on, are the voters. And so if I do a horrible job, 2 years later, I'm voted out because I did a horrible job. But at least people understand somebody's trying to represent the community.
Jeremy, thanks for coming in this morning. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Paul.
Good luck out there on the campaign trail for the next 3 weeks.
Thank you.